finally where I'd like to be in life, or at least closer to it, and setting myself up to really succeed, you know, instead of paying towards debt. I've paid off about 13 grand since January of 2020.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Successful Solutions, the podcast where we show you how to make action your greatest habit. As you heard just a second ago, Chelsea, as of 2 years ago today, actually, when the release of this podcast is, has officially paid off $14,850 in debt. I want to give her a huge round of applause for sticking through it for those years, overcoming addiction, as you'll find out in this podcast, and becoming a yoga instructor along with being the best version of herself. Wonderful job, Chelsea. Congratulations on that. You're doing great. And you're going to hear her story, how she changed, and what it took to get her where she is today. Stick around, listen in, and enjoy.
I started practicing yoga back in 2004, 2006. Okay. Very much just studio, going once or a few times a week throughout those years. And it's just been in this last year and a half since COVID that I've really upped my practice, both at home and at the studio, and began in, learning to teach. Yeah, absolutely. It started out very slow for me. I had just gotten clean in recovery from drugs and alcohol. Uh-huh. And it was a great outlet of something else to do besides what I used to do by, you know, hanging out with people who partied or going to parties and stuff. So it was very much an opportunity to invest in my own well-being in another way. Uh-huh. And it definitely worked out for the best.
That's fantastic. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. Me too.
So how did you make that transition then? Because what I'm observing and what you're telling me is you essentially changed groups instead of sticking with this one group that was doing their activities. You switched to doing yoga. So how did you schedule in the yoga to, and it, did you replace them essentially? That's kind of what it sounds like.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely had to change everything. I mean, when I first was getting clean, I struggled with finding that balance, and it actually led me to relapsing quite a few times. The first 2 years that I was getting clean, I had started going to meetings when I was 18 years old. And I finally stayed clean at 20, kind of obsessing or compulsing about old people, places, and things. Okay. And in 12-step recovery, I got involved with other people who were already doing the deal, both in recovery and then also practicing yoga. And so seeing their influence was beneficial. And I started going to the studio and practicing on occasion. And it just was something that I enjoyed doing, along with going to 12-step meetings and working, sort of a shift over time for sure.
Yeah. And would you say that your work was related to the yoga by any means, or was it mainly the 12-step people, the couple of people in there that shifted you over to yoga?
Definitely 12-step people. Okay. Yes, absolutely. My work at the time was another reason why it would be good for me to go to yoga and meditate and separate from that profession at the time. Uh-huh. Yeah. But now I work in mental health currently. So there's a nice supportive atmosphere that just sort of enhances it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice. That's cool. So so at this point you have a couple different reasons as to why you stick with it. It's no longer about you. It's also about other people as well, because you're saying that you're doing it for, your work is mental health, and that helps other people's mental health as well.
Well, one, I definitely do practice for myself. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, it's my routine. It's a thing that helps me feel centered. Mm-hmm. It is goal-oriented, things that I can look forward to. And so I'm at this shifting spot where I am open to teaching others and maybe adding to my professional arena to be a yoga instructor, work at studios and things like that. So I've enjoyed the little tastes I have of teaching others. Uh-huh. Yes. So I definitely have enjoyed that. It's still new for me. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's cool. Do you feel as though the two things will overlap at some point in terms of work related, from helping other people from their mental health to also getting them to do yoga or meditation as well?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I am, like, the end goal mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. to have my own counseling practice one day and have it be a shared space where I can also teach yoga or rent space to other yoga practitioners as well, and mm-hmm. kind of have a wellness studio. Mm-hmm. So it'll be inclusive for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I am currently a recipient of a scholarship, a financial scholarship from an organization called Trini Foundation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are Ashtanga style yoga based. Ashtanga, it is a style of yoga. And so it's typically a set series of postures that enables you to, instead of going to a yoga class where there's an instructor at the front of the class going, now we're going to do this, and now we're going to do this, and then I think we're going to do this next. It's very kind of set in a series of postures. So it enables you to, one, kind of know what's next, what's expected of you, and allow you to focus inward and focus on your breath and being present in that posture. And there's two different types of ways you can practice Ashtanga, either a self-guided or a teacher-led practice as well. So I enjoy both. Very grateful for it. It's very recovery-based as well, the Trini Foundation, related to kind of finding discipline in life with recovery and the discipline of yoga practice, and how that can be very beneficial for recovering addicts who might need a little discipline in life instead of kind of random chaos where one might find themselves using again, instead to have discipline in the daily practice for benefiting ourselves, which happens in 12-step recovery and also in yoga and practicing the eight limbs.
Interesting. So you're saying that yoga has basically an 8-step program and AA has a 12-step program?
I haven't thought about it from that perspective. 12-step program, yes, there are 12 steps related to working a program of recovery. Mm-hmm. And in yoga, there is the eight limbs. One of the limbs of yoga is asana, so postures. Mm-hmm. So in yoga, we find ourselves in different postures. But even before that, there are sort of behavioral aspects of it, a way of looking at living life, like an 8-step ladder to practice better way of living.
Cool. I can respect that. Well, I guess what I'm curious about is, when you were going back a little bit, when you were initially getting into it, were you good friends with the people that you started the yoga with, or that those people were doing the yoga, or did you have a lot of conversations with them, or was it like you just saw them doing it and you're like, oh, that inspires me to go do it too? Did you go to some of their classes or?
I was encouraged to attend yoga by a good friend of mine in recovery. Okay. And just a positive experience. I enjoyed it and could see it in her life. She enjoyed it as well. So there was definitely sort of an attraction to the practice of yoga based on on her life and just continue to go on my own as well.
I really like how you said the attraction and enjoy part, because in habit formation, those are the two things, is if you are attracted to it and then if it's satisfying or enjoyable in some way.
I'd say that it's definitely reinforcing to have somebody encouraging you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then to see someone else doing it and have the benefits of it. It's also, you know, gives you, I guess, the perspective of I can enjoy this too.
Yeah.
The other aspect of sort of habit forming for me is over just before COVID, I started a new financial practice or habit, picked up a third job and started working very hard to not spend any money and pay off a lot of consumer debt.
Oh, nice.
I kind of started that not by actually physically doing it, but I started listening to podcasts. I started hearing other people's experience with it and the struggle of doing it. And then also the rewards of doing it. I started reading about it. Like I got one of their books, just started to immerse myself in other people's experience to hopefully kind of kickstart my own drive to accomplish the same goals. So, I mean, thanks to COVID, I was able to work a whole lot more and not go to concerts or go out to dinner. So it helped me in my discipline. And I honestly, I started out with small goals. Specifically, like I listened to Dave Ramsey's idea of a snowball for paying off debt. So start with your smallest debt, working towards bigger ones. And each time you pay one off, you just roll that next one into the next debt and it snowballs bigger and bigger. And I needed to do that for myself because I am, well, I'm a recovering addict and I work off the payoff principle. Cool. And instant gratification is sometimes much more satisfying to me than delayed gratification. So for me with the snowball, I was able to really see all the little mini wins and pay off the smallest debt and then work it towards the next one and see a lot more pats on the back quicker. Than the avalanche method, which is where you just pay off your greatest interest debt or maybe even your highest debt first. And then you just keep avalanching it until the
it disappears.
You pay it all off. But that was going to be backwards for me. I was not going to see tasks completed quickly. So that was another thing that I had to become a little more disciplined in, and not buying things and paying things off and prioritizing became very rewarding for me. I'm at the tail end of my consumer debt payoff.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Paid off about 13 grand. Since January of 2020.
Wow.
My goal is I have 1900 left to pay off. It was going to be by December. That was my plan. But I ended up having to replace my car last weekend. So might be a couple more months to finish off that last 1900, but I'll get it done. Yeah.
Life is, you have things going in a great direction for your life.
I'm definitely working on it. Definitely. When I got the car, they did a credit score check and I use like Credit Karma and I can see like my credit score right there. And it was saying that it was around like 740 on Credit Karma, which I thought was like fantastic. And then when they actually ran my credit, it was actually 801.
Oh, wow. Even like, better.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. So another opportunity to just kind of pat myself on the back. So that felt really good. And there was a time where it was not the case. It was in the 400s and 500s because of the debt to credit ratio was quite, you know, not so good. So it's nice to see that change. It just feels good. Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
What is it about these small changes you made that helped position you to go in a better direction? Because from what I'm seeing, it sounds like you had a variety of things happening. Your life was going a certain way, and then something happened where you wanted to make a change. What was the change, and how did you push for that change to occur?
So I was in a relationship at the time, and my partner at the time had good job, good finances, probably good savings. I mean, we didn't really talk about their finances in particular, but their availability to be able to afford traveling and going and doing things was exponentially greater than mine. Mm-hmm. I found myself very stressed about being able to afford paying my own way through things. Uh-huh. And so I started working three jobs.
Hey everyone, wanted to interrupt real fast to invite you to check out my ebook over at iantolson.com. That's my first name, last name.com, where it gives you tips and habit formatting ideas so that you can work on yourself, improve for yourself, and find out more of the tips that are actually coming from the speakers that I grab information from. So go ahead over to iantolson.com if you'd like a free ebook on habits, and have a good rest of your day. Cheers.
Which was a great stressor on our relationship. And ultimately, it's what I've needed in order to pay off that debt. But right. I had a goal in mind, and that was to be consumer debt free so that I can enjoy taking the weekend off with not feeling like I am missing out on an opportunity to save money, or feeling stressed that by going out that weekend, I'm going to put myself in the hole again. Okay. You know, you pay a little bit more to your credit cards or your debt, and next thing you know, like, you're having to use them again because you have overpaid into them. Yeah. And kind of finding that balance. So the end goal is something attainable. I just needed to make all the little mini goals on the way to get there. And that's kind of where one of the other habits that I have kind of shifted from is like waking up earlier. With, you know, like, it's not just to wake up earlier, but in my Ashtanga practice, like, the classes start at 6 a.m., you know, wow. So that's pretty early. And I'm used to waking up at 9 a.m., getting to work at 10. So I knew that, like, if I just set the expectation of myself that tomorrow and the rest of the week, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. every day and make it happen, that I was going to be throwing off a lot of cycles in my life. So my sleep cycle, when I eat, when I use the restroom, when I, you know, like, that whole thing is going to be shifting, and to expect myself to just go from A to Z right off the bat without a lot of crunch to it would be unrealistic. Okay. And so February, I turned 37, and I just started this commitment to myself that every 37 days I was going to do a new task. I started with reading something every day for 37 days, no matter what, come hell or high water, I was going to read this book every single day. Even if it was like midnight and I'm ready to fall asleep, I'm going to read it out loud in another accent just to keep myself awake to do it. And after accomplishing that, I shifted into, you know what, I'm going to get up by 8:30 every single day. And now I'm going to get up by 7:20 and then 6:30. And then it just kept moving all the way up. And I did it in, you know, rotations of 37 days to kind of create a bit of a habit. And so that has been rewarding for me as well, and a lot more doable than expecting myself to accomplish it right off the bat. I'm allowing my body to, you know, fall asleep early enough so that I can wake up later. Without throwing me off. Same thing with the paying of the cards. You know, I could pay so much to a card that I end up having to use it again because now I don't have any liquid cash flow. And instead of liquid cash flow, we're talking about my personal energy and motivation. Wake up earlier, accomplish this other task. So I think it comes down to many goals that I can celebrate
I really like everything you have to say. It's very inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you.
What would you say, let's say that you met yourself 5 years ago, back in that time frame, what advice would you give yourself right now if you saw yourself 5 years ago?
5 years ago, I was living paycheck to paycheck and always kind of worried about finances. Probably would tell myself it's worth it to work hard in the here and now and to delay some instant gratification. That it's worth it and that I'm worth it.
What and then in addition to that, what kind of groups would you encourage them to get into? Because you said that you're a recovering addict, so you were in a certain group. And then if not a yoga group, what other kind of groups could someone get involved in?
So for me as a recovering addict, I definitely encourage people to go to 12-step meetings. It's not the only way for someone to get clean by going to 12-step meetings, but it is definitely the only way that worked for me. But there's all kinds of recovery based organizations out there for people. You know, there's spiritual communities for people, there's yoga communities. I think it comes down to surrounding yourself with people who have something that you want, or living a way that you would like to live yourself, and surrounding yourself with those people. And me as a recovering addict, I just needed to make sure that the things that we were doing did not revolve around any use of alcohol or drugs. I was in school, I was working, attending meetings. I got involved in the pole community. So pole dancing, lyra, silk, so sort of aerial arts or dancing, and really enjoyed that community as well. Empowering women of all ages, shapes and sizes. So I started going to Buttercup Pole Dance in Tampa, and just loved the opportunity to flow and move my body and challenge myself. Same thing with yoga. I mean, getting outside of thinking about world stress and enjoy that opportunity to dance and to move and be around other encouraging people. So that was another outlet for me.
I like it. It's definitely a diversity thing, because I wouldn't have expected. You really changed a lot of the groups that you were in. Like, you really wanted to make this difference. That's amazing.
I mean, another thing that I did, joined, I guess it was about 5 years ago, doing improv comedy lessons as well. So went through a few rounds of doing lessons over, I don't know, a 6 month period. I did level one twice and then level two and level three, and just, you know, every week going and enjoying this opportunity to play with adults. So just things that took me out of my comfort zone and I enjoyed and challenged me. So just kind of saying yes to life and trying new things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so you had friends that were already doing these things, or did you look up some of these places like the comedy clubs, or like you said, the pole dancing or the yoga, for example?
With the improv comedy, I did look it up myself. I didn't have anybody else doing it, so I just signed up and did it on my own.
Nice.
With pole, I had a friend who was already taking lessons and performing, and I remember going to one of her shows and really enjoying just seeing all of the love and support of everybody. Wow. And the physicality of it, the sexuality of it, the creativeness of it, just loved it. And so shortly thereafter, signed up myself, found a Groupon somewhere and started in that process for myself. Yes. Cool. So very much a say yes to life and try some new things and kind of a jack of all trades and enjoy it and try something new and keep going from there. And I've noticed how they help each other or influence each other or benefit the body with yoga versus pole dancing or lyra classes, working the body in a different way, kind of like people, what is it called, where you cross train?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So for me, that's kind of what it is, you know, from roller skating to pole dancing to yoga, moving the body in a different way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I totally get that because I do skateboarding, but then I also play a type of soccer. And then I also have things that I do at home that creates this different repetitiveness, because I've noticed when I stuck with skating and I did it for so long, you kind of hit plateaus along the way. But if you choose different things, it works different muscles and you can kind of progress a little bit easier at the other things, coincidentally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So in a way, it's kind of like you casted this big net to do all these other activities, and then that pushed you into having a different lifestyle.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
What's one of your favorite things about your life now that you really enjoy?
I would say that it is sort of just the peace of mind of accomplishing, getting closer to paying off my debts, allowing me to feel like I can just be present and enjoy my downtime without thinking like I'm wasting time. And the opportunity to like play with friends and enjoy knowing that I can afford doing that and enjoy doing that. So it's just much more rewarding.
Is there anything else you would like to add for someone listening if they were local and wanted to reach out to you or them to do with their own lives to motivate them to do something?
I would say like ultimately they're something that everyone is looking for to accomplish, like in their day or in their life, there is some goal, whether it's financial freedom or freedom from addiction, you know, whatever it is, like it is attainable. To know that there are other people out in the community who are doing that very thing. You know, unfortunately, sometimes individuals might grow up in an area where all they see is the hardship or the addiction or financial inequality in some way. But to surround yourself with people who are doing that, whether that's going to 12-step meetings or joining a spiritual community or physical activity, but putting yourself out there and doing that and asking the questions and making the little goals that help you get there.
Well, it's so insightful to listen to you and hear your experiences, because I feel as though it can really help someone if they're in a harder spot or just in a spot where they don't want to be able to change their mindset and listen to your story and be like, oh, these are things that I can do to move my life to go in a better direction. And I think you've done such a great job at shifting your life.
Thank you. I used to have the perspective of sort of the victim mindset of like, I'm an addict, or, you know, my parents didn't set me up for success financially, or, you know, nobody paid for my college but me and all of these student loans. And so to have that mindset as opposed to some point that shift into, it is what it is, and what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to do it for me. Thinking that others are going to do it for me has put me in more financial strife or all of that. And so just taking ownership for what it is and accepting it and putting, you know, the foot to the pavement and working on it.
Wow. That's respectable. I really like how you said that, take ownership over it, and then you're causing this change, because I can totally admit to the whole being a victim thing many times in my life. But it's true, it's nobody can do anything about it, and realistically you're just upset about something that may be present or maybe in the past, but mm-hmm. it doesn't really help anyone to be stuck there and just say, it's kind of like blaming somebody else for your problems a bit and just being, you're the problem. And I am upset about this, instead of saying, what can we do about it? What's the solution? How do we overcome this difficulty? Is more of the viewpoint, which is not being the victim mentality.
Yeah. That's cool. And I think it's also important to say that feeling like the victim most likely means that there was some negative experience, or maybe there is truth to that. Maybe one was a victim of something, but at the end of the day, like how do we continue to live in that, you know, continuing to live as the helpless victim or an empowered person who had a victim experience and move forward then. So definitely to feel those feelings, but also keep it moving, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a fantastic way to put it. That's so cool to hear you say that, because even just recently I've gone from my own shift of that with yourself and have, mm-hmm. and hear you say it too, because it's very relieving to know that there's like, oh yeah, there's other people out there that are also doing this.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And you're on the other side of that for yourself now with some experience?
Oh yeah. I mean, for example, like I was on drugs for years, and I got put on drugs fairly young as a kid, not by choice. And that was something that affected me. It's like, I always tried to do something about it, but I say that I really overcame the final stages of it this last year or so. And this was something that I was put on when I was, it's been going on for more than 18, 19 years. So to finally get over that hump, not only mentally, but also take the right things to get the drugs out of my body, was such a huge, helpful impact. And that's, I think, what made a difference, because I did multiple detox programs, and I actually do things that detox my body on a regular basis. So I know that for me, it's just 100% different from where I am. And it's cool too, because you'll run across people who don't necessarily see you on a regular day-to-day basis. And then 5 years later they say, wow, you're a completely different person now. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I am. Like if I think back mm-hmm. then to now, it's mm-hmm. so different. And it's really nice, because for you yourself, and I'm sure you can relate to this, you only see these small incremental changes. But then when you cross them out over the years, it turns into this ripple effect in this very good direction that has an excellent change to it.
Absolutely. And congrats to you too for finding whatever regiment and I'm just going to use the word medications that work for you. Yes. So I'm glad that you have found yourself on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I'm very grateful to be where I am now. It's a huge change. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on using nature as a form of therapy? Because I've looked it up a couple of times, and I think it was more in the East where they were starting to prescribe looking outside as a form of medicine. And I'm curious what your viewpoints on that are too.
Well, I definitely think, just like the aspect of like moving my body has been beneficial for my mind, mm-hmm. you know, disconnecting from social media and going hiking or just that opportunity to, you know, put your feet in some water and enjoy physical sensations, as opposed to trying to put chemicals in my body to experience some sort of peace and serenity. Like it's out there. You know, I'm an advocate for like burn out our muscles and our legs from hiking up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet high to make it to the top of the mountain and accomplish that task. Just the reward of it, so much more invigorating and worthwhile than getting stoned. So I'm all about it. I'm all about having experiences and being fully present, as opposed to trying to enhance experiences with substances. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I completely agree. And it's cool because I feel that I can get where you're coming from my own perspective, but also from another person's perspective, because even though marijuana is a very, not only is it legal in a lot of states now, but it's very accessible and easy to get. But I really like what you've said, because in my own viewpoint, I'm taking whatever drugs there are and hiding them or getting rid of them or finding the right groups and switching over to the alternative of putting your hiking boots next to the door and having maps, or like knowing where these other places are to go hike, or knowing where these other groups are to go and get to that are, like you've said, improv comedy or yoga or just anything, even the skate park, for example, for myself. And it's so cool to see those changes and how we can all make them. It's very possible, but we can't be in that victim mentality if we're going to make those kind of changes really last or stick around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know for myself, in the beginning, when I was first getting clean, I couldn't imagine being able to enjoy doing some of those things mm-hmm. clean. Yeah. I remember going to some meeting when I was 18 and they were talking about doing other things besides using. And I was like, you know, question, what do I do now that's fun? Like, how do I actually have fun without getting high?
Yeah.
And not being something corny or something. And what I realized is that it had a lot to do with my own self-esteem and my own ability to be comfortable in my own skin and enjoy where I was at. Because, you know, when I used drugs and alcohol, it was very much about changing the way I felt, changing, maybe changing who I was with, where I was at, how I was feeling. I always wanted to control that outcome. And I was never satisfied with where I was, with who I was with, who I was. It took a lot of work to find that self-esteem and inner satisfaction without having to enhance it or change the way I felt with drugs. It took a while, but to finally be on the other side of that, free from that, grasping has been all the difference in my world, for sure, to be able to enjoy this moment right now.
Yeah.
Even this moment, you and I talking, like, I'm not thinking about where I want to be or can I go smoke something to be having more fun in this moment? Like, no, like, I'm cool. I'm down. Like, this is good. This is all I need at the moment.
Yeah.
So that feels good to be grateful for what I have and where I am.
That is so cool. I have such a deep level of respect for you, because I feel as though I've gone through not the same things, obviously, but just similar things. Cause I remember thinking that getting high was the fun thing to do. And then you do fun things on top of that mm-hmm. to go have fun. But at the end of the day, like you said, going and hiking to the top of the mountain and having that experience is the fun activity.
Absolutely. And I think what it came down to me is, for me as an addict, mm-hmm. I could never really be high enough. You know, it was never enough.
Yeah.
It was never enough. I was never satisfied. And I proved that to myself that I'll never be satisfied using. And without it, I find that I am satisfied. It's such a paradox, you know, especially in the beginning, thinking that, like, oh, I'm never going to have fun again.
Right. What are you talking about? Why would I want to quit?
Yeah. Quitting's for losers. Right. What are you talking about? No, it's actually for winners. Quitting is for winners.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And what I've also learned is, like, as a teenager getting high, you're hanging out with all these cool people who are getting high. And now that I'm clean, I get to hang out with all the cool people who are clean. They used to do that shit too. But now, you know, they're the same people, but only they are living their best lives.
Yeah. I really like that, because those people are also very there and in present. And I think it's interesting, because being a user, like an ex-user myself, the one thing that I can really say is that when I was on drugs and I was doing them, I saw that my life now was going in such a bad direction. And I think it's hard to grasp the type of decline that you go through on drugs. But if you look at it over the years, it becomes very apparent that it might be fun in these little bursts, but in this overall grand scheme of things, it's actually heading to a disastrous area in my viewpoint and experience. Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Before we end off here, if you liked this episode, you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe. And if you want, leave a review. Subscribing helps because it'll let you know when new episodes are coming out. You'll be able to hear it. I'm glad that you were able to listen to this one. If you'd like other people to know what it is about it faster, then please leave a review so they can enjoy it as well. Alrighty, my friends, have a great rest of your day.
My experience as well. Mine happened very quickly. You know, I think I first kind of decided that using was for me, for sure, for sure, when I was in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. So I was 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
Knowing that, like, oh, I got high for the first time and felt like I had arrived. And like, this was what I'm going to be doing forever, because this is fun. I don't have to deal with emotional, you know, stuff. I can distract myself over here. And I ran with it, and I ran it to the ground pretty quickly.
Oh my gosh.
So by the time I was 18, I landed myself in going to treatment.
Wow.
And going to 12-step meetings at the time, and stayed clean by 20. And now it's 17 years later, and I'm still clean. But even with that, I mean, clean. And then, you know, 17 years later, I'm finally really working on some of that other stuff, the financial aspect of things. You know, like, I've carried behaviors from addiction into recovery, and just slowly, one by one, like, working on the next thing. So it's not like you just poof, stop doing something, and all of a sudden you've created the same habit across all aspects of your life. You know, it's kind of like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, like, if if you're struggling with something in life, if you can't put food on the table, like, you're not worried about your emotional needs right now. You're worried about trying to care for your food, shelter, water, those kind of things, let alone, like, am I getting enough sleep, or am I getting enough hugs and love? Like, you know, there's other needs in front of that. So just slowly been working on everything. And I feel like finally 17 years later, finally where I'd like to be in life, or at least closer to it, and setting myself up to really succeed, you know, instead of paying towards debt. Hopefully soon I'll be really investing in myself in another way. You know, I've invested in my recovery, invested in my physical well-being and fitness, bit of my spiritual aspect. Now it's time to start really investing in myself in another way, and financially. Can't do everything all at once, but work on one thing at a time.
That was fantastic having you on. That was very insightful, and I feel as though it can help a lot of other people, which is one of the greatest things.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. And it was a cool opportunity to share a little bit of my experience and hear some of yours as well. And yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you.